we didn't see any differences in bone, whole bone mineral density, which is it's interesting to see that a short duration of a vitamin D deficiency cannot necessarily cause whole bone systemic changes, right? But what we don't know, and that's what we're measuring with the enzymes or the genes in the bone, for instance, is to look at, okay, it might not be affecting the whole bone, but it could be affecting the genes that are being regulated for growth, for instance, right? Like it might be changing the growth plate or how the bone is being mineralized, but not necessarily, you know, what we can measure on a big scale.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Summer challenges finish your pig performance. Digestrum Finish can help. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/finish. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions.
Hi there, and welcome to another episode of the Swine It podcast. I'm Tara Donovan, your host, and today I have Brittany Kokinos as my guest. Brittany is a PhD candidate in nutrition and metabolism in the Department of Nutritional Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, just in my backyard. Welcome to the show, Brittany.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being my guest. So today we're going to learn about Brittany's research comparing different vitamin D metabolites on physiological responses in nursery pigs. But before we get started, I want to learn a little bit more about Brittany. So share with us your career path, how you got here, and how you got to be studying this topic.
Yeah, so I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, so I haven't gone very far. I did my BS degree here at Madison and my master's degree with Tom Crenshaw, and now I'm doing my PhD with Tom as well, so studying vitamin D metabolism and calcium phosphorus in pigs. So I initially wanted to go to veterinary school, like most undergrad students in our department, and in the process of, you know, figuring out what I wanted to do with my career, you know, I always ask the question of what do I, you know, what motivates me, what drives me? And the question that I had was, how do things work? Why do things work? So then I met Tom throughout my undergrad degree, and we got talking about research and that spark of, okay, why does that work? How does the body metabolize a certain metabolite that we introduce into the feed? And it kind of just went downhill from there, or uphill, or however you want to describe it. So the research bug caught me, you know, and it's history, I guess. So here we are. Long term for my career goals, I'm still on the fence. I do really enjoy the research side of things, of, you know, asking questions, designing experiments. But I do enjoy mentoring students in the lab primarily. I haven't had as much teaching experience in like a, you know, lecture hall, for example. But I do enjoy the mentoring of students and seeing that aha moment when they get it.
Oh, that's great. And that's awesome. The curiosity, right, is what drives you, it sounds like. So thank you for sharing that, and very motivating. The future is yours, Brittany. So go out and get it.
Looking to improve the performance of your finisher pigs this summer? Digestrome Finish offers a phytogenic solution that boosts feed digestibility, enhances growth performance, and reduces mortality and morbidity. Trials show that Digestrome Finish can help you achieve a faster, heavier finish and better profitability. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/finish.
So today we're going to talk about your research, which I know it sounds like for you is exciting, and that's what you're passionate about. So it'll be a fun discussion. And so we're going to talk about vitamin D. Will you just start us off, give us a refresher on vitamin D, its importance, and what happens in the pig?
Yeah. So vitamin D, and, you know, as we remember in most of our nutrition classes that we had at some point or another, the classical, you know, vitamin D deficiency, calcium deficiency is rickets, right? So we're always taught that in our nutrition classes. So if we go back to that and we look at, you know, how vitamin D, you know, is essential for calcium homeostasis, you know, when we have a drop in, you know, calcium, or we're not feeding enough calcium, that signals the response of the body to increase PTH that then goes and acts on the kidney that then increases the active hormone vitamin D, right? The 125, which is hydroxylated in two positions. So the 1 and the 25 place. So in order to make the active hormone, it gets D3 that we feed to the pigs or humans or whatever, gets converted in the liver to 25 hydroxy vitamin D by a CYP2R enzyme. And then it goes to the kidney where it gets hydroxylated in the 1 position to become 125, which is the active hormone that can act on various parts of the body. So it acts on the intestine to increase calcium absorption, which ultimately leads to regulating calcium homeostasis to bring it back to normal range. It acts on the kidney itself to increase reabsorption of calcium. And it also acts on bone, which is my primary interest, is increasing the reabsorption of bone. So you have more calcium and phosphorus released from bone, as well as it's very important in the growth plate and the development of bones as well, which is our current research working on, is to look more at the molecular signals in the growth plate itself. So all of that leading to maintaining calcium homeostasis, so bringing it all back to normal. So that's the classical pathway of vitamin D metabolism.
Very perfect. A very complicated pathway that you made, you know, sound very simple, but that helps to give us, like I said, a little refresher of how it all works. And I think anybody in the audience that's been working with pigs and growth would be familiar with Dr. Tom Crenshaw's lab and his research in this topic, you know, ongoing, right? So been working on this and kind of re-researching, I would say, the same topic, but it's important. So describe the sources of vitamin D, like for the pig. Where does the pig get it, and what do we do in normal feeding for the pig?
Yeah. So primarily because we house pigs inside, they don't necessarily get it from the sunlight, right? So we know that vitamin D can be converted from UV rays in the one alpha hydrocholesterol in the skin. And so, but since we house inside, we have to feed some source of vitamin D. So we typically feed either D3, or there are other products such as 25 hydroxylase that already is converted into the 25 position. So it can easily be reconverted into 125, maybe a little bit quicker in the body, one less step. Those are the two primary ones. So I know John Bergstrom with DSM, we work with him and their product of the high D, which is a 25 hydroxylase. Those are the two primary sources that I know about that are able to be fed to pigs right now.
No, absolutely. That's exactly what I was after, is the difference between feeding, right, and getting it, absorbing it, oh my goodness, through the skin. So now let's dig into your experiments. Do you want to set us up a little bit for what you're working on now? And maybe there were some projects that led to this and to this particular question that you're currently doing.
Our primary objective was to look at those different metabolites, so feeding different metabolites to pigs. So we designed an experiment with John Bergstrom with DSM to look at a depletion-repletion experiment, because we wanted to reduce the amount of external, like normally fed vitamin D to the pigs. So we put them on a deficient diet with no vitamin D for 3 weeks. And then we put them onto recovery diets with these different metabolites to try to see how the body, on a systemic regulation standpoint and local tissue regulation standpoint, metabolized this, you know, during a 21-day recovery phase. So like I said, we fed no vitamin D for 3 weeks. And then we switched them to one of three dietary treatments, one with just D3 at 1,000 international units. So kind of high. We normally feed in our herd 280. So it was high for us, but maybe not high for industry. And then the equivalent, the second treatment was the equivalent of 1,000 international units of D3, but of high D product. And then the last treatment was we purchased a 1-alpha product from Sigma, and we fed that at the equivalent of all the, of the D3 as well, to try to look at how 1-alpha is metabolized within the body, which kind of was interesting, and we still don't fully know how it works in the body and where it gets, and if it needs to be hydroxylated in the 25 position first and what regulates that. So we're still digging into that part of this experiment. But so that was our initial design of that experiment to look at. We looked at growth, whole bone growth, so gain, body weight. We did whole body DEXA scans at the end of the experiment. And we collected tissues for gene expression. We collected the kidney, the ileum, and the bone to look at different, the CYP enzymes in those tissues to see how the local metabolism of vitamin D is happening.
So Brittany, you threw a term out there that I'm not familiar with. What's a DEXA scan? What do you do with that?
So a DEXA scan is essentially a way to detect the mineralization of bone. So humans, for instance, get DEXA scans when we're looking for osteoporosis and we're screening for osteoporosis. So it's a low resolution X-ray, essentially. So we lay the pigs on the table and we do a whole body scan, and we get an output of bone mineral density and bone mineral content. We also get fat and lean, so that kind of helps us determine, you know, how the pig is growing over time as well.
So how long do you feed in your experiment? How long did you feed the diets in? So you did a 3-week deficient diet, and then how long did you feed the product, and then how long after did you do some of your analyzing of the results?
We had the deficiency for 21 days, and then we also fed the recovery for 21 days. And then immediately at the end of that recovery is when we did all of our tissue collections.
And so where are you in the results process? And is this, my assumption is a goal to publish and then perhaps a research or dig into something further. And I know you mentioned the metabolism of the last product and trying to understand a little bit more about that, but share with us a little bit more of the timeline.
We are currently in the process of combining all the data that we have and figuring out what is next. We do have some metabolism or metabolites of vitamin D. So we measured the serum levels, plasma levels of D3, 25 hydroxy, and 125. So we sent samples to Heartland Assays in Iowa because we do not have the ability in our lab to measure those metabolites. And we have some preliminary data on that. It's kind of interesting that, like with some other studies that we've read papers on, that there's an increase in the 25 hydroxy in the plasma when you feed 25 hydroxy, right? So it spikes that up a little bit higher than when you just feed D3 alone. With our project, we also, I guess with that, why I say it's preliminary is because we don't have that many samples that we sent in because of the cost of the assays itself. It is a fairly expensive procedure to measure the vitamin D metabolites. But we wanted to measure all three of them. So D3, 25-hydroxy, 125. And then we also added 24-25. So that's the degraded product. So vitamin D can be converted, the 25-hydroxy can be converted into 125, but it also can be degraded into 24-25. There's a little bit unknown about what the role of 24-25 in the body is, whether it's just a degradative product because there's too much 25-hydroxy in the blood, or if it actually acts on a tissue for some positive benefit. There's some data to support that it's beneficial for chondrocytes in the growth plate, but still more research has to be done in that area. So we wanted to measure all of the metabolites compared to some other studies that have just looked at 25-hydroxy, because what we don't know is, you know, in measuring just a blood sample at one time point, what is the flux of the system because it is tightly regulated. And from my understanding, 25-hydroxy, so the conversion from D3 to 25-hydroxy, is kind of unregulated in the aspect that it hits the liver and it's converted fairly quickly. But then where the regulation step comes in is in the kidney itself with the conversion to 125 or to 24-25. So we wanted to look at all the metabolites, which got expensive. So we would potentially like to send in some more samples so that we have a larger number of observations to confirm some of the data that we have, because some of it is kind of interesting. Like I mentioned with the 1-alpha, is we detected 125 with the 1-alpha product. So it kind of says either that their assay is showing the 125, but the 1-alpha is either getting converted or there's some kind of, they're overlapping in the assay itself, the 1-alpha and the 125. So we're further digging into that. What else did we do? We measured the genes in preliminary genes in the kidney, liver, and bone. But we're adding some genes to that to try to look at more of, you know, how is it regulating versus just measuring the CYP enzymes of how it's being converted within the bone itself. What other, you know, genes are being regulated because of the vitamin D diets that we induced.
So the ultimate goal, Brittany, is to, it sounds like to me, and so I'm going to be simplistic here as a non-nutritionist, but understand how the metabolites are being converted, and it sounds like either dysregulated or used, and what pathway they're taking. So really digging into the fine detail of the type of initial product that's given, and then what happens in the pig. So what about, and one, is that about right? Very simplistic, right? But just understanding for those listeners that are like me out there. And then the second question that I have for you is, what about the bone density and that information? Where are you with that, the DEXA scans?
Yeah, so we did the DEXA scans and we did the analysis. And interestingly, in that short time frame, we didn't see any differences in whole bone mineral density, which is it's interesting to see that a short duration of a vitamin D deficiency cannot necessarily cause whole bone systemic changes, right? But what we don't know, and that's what we're measuring with the enzymes or the genes in the bone, for instance, is to look at, okay, it might not be affecting the whole bone, but it could be affecting the genes that are being regulated for growth, for instance, right? Like it might be changing the growth plate or how the bone is being mineralized, but not necessarily, you know, what we can measure on a big scale.
Very good. So Brittany, we're going to conclude our discussion today about your research. Do you have some final thoughts for our listeners about your research and what's coming up?
Yeah. So I think The main thing is I think it's very interesting. I think it's fascinating to take what we know about whole, you know, metabolism, thinking about it from a systemic calcium, phosphorus, and vitamin D standpoint, and looking at it more on the, you know, minute specific tissue scale of, you know, how is by feeding 25 hydroxy benefiting the growth plate, for instance, and those cells in the growth plate. So I think getting into that is kind of interesting, especially when we then, you know, throw another term into the pile of, you know, reducing the incidence of osteochondrosis in pigs. So osteochondrosis is a big issue in the swine industry, from what I've heard over the years of working in osteochondrosis research. And I think looking closer at, you know, why is there a focal failure in the bone growth that leads to these lesions that we're seeing?
It's time for our famous three.
Broiler Savvy, the pioneering AI-powered solution for broiler gut functionality and metabolic efficiency insights. Cargill Animal Nutrition and Health Pork Solutions delivers trusted, data-driven nutrition and business support, helping you build more profitable, confident pork systems. KT Pacer, 50 years designing and building feed transportation equipment focused on quality, workmanship, and performance. BinSentry, the most trusted feed monitoring solution in the world.
For more than 50 years, KT Pacer has built feed transportation equipment focused on quality, performance, and reliability. Today, we continue to innovate with our Flow Trailer platform, engineered for durability, lightweight performance, and easy maintenance. Designed to maximize on-farm efficiency and reduce total cost of ownership, KT Pacer trailers help feed operations move more, improve productivity, and spend less. KT Pacer, built to meet the demands of modern agriculture. Learn more at ktpacer.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Brittany, so much for sharing your research with us. We're excited to see what you have in your final conclusions. But before we let you go, I want to thank our listeners. And if you have any questions or comments, send those through on your podcast platform. Also, if you liked our show, give us a thumbs up and share it with other listeners. But a trademark of our show, Brittany, is to ask our guests a few thought-provoking questions to expand our knowledge and keep us thinking. So the first question is, what book or resource is your go-to in your area of expertise?
That's a great question. I personally like, it's going to sound nerdy, but I personally like Harper's biochemistry textbook. I think it's a very good resource for looking at, you know, how molecular signals are working and how we can like take that on a small level into the whole body to understand metabolism a little bit better. So it's my resource, I would say, when I have a question on something.
Absolutely. Well, I would tell you that I haven't gone to that resource, but I do remember when I was a student, I definitely had some specific resources in my area of expertise that were very useful. So I can definitely relate to that. So how about something outside of the molecular side that is a good book or resource that you find interesting?
I don't know if I have a specific one, but if we're talking outside of science, for instance, completely. I've been reading a book series called A Darker Shade of Magic that was suggested to me by a friend. So it's a nice escape from the science world and to think about, you know, fantasy and all of that. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, that sounds fun. And I find that a lot of academicians and researchers tell me I don't have a lot of time outside of what I'm normally doing, because you read so much and you're always, you know, reading other publications and staying abreast of that particular topic. So I totally understand that. But that sounds like it's a nice release for you or something different. So I know you mentioned earlier that you enjoy working with students and in your PhD. Share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
I would say problem solving, right? We can be book smart, right? Like we can, you know, take the classes, understand the information, but then being able to translate that into, you know, a whole picture system, I think is, you know, very important, especially when, you know, in science, nothing ever goes by the book sometimes, you know? And so I think the ability to problem solve when you do run into some kind of issue outside of the book knowledge that we have.
Brittany, I think that's an important skill, no matter what, in your career or just in life, right? Problem solving, because unfortunately, that's the way of life is problems and solutions.
Yep.
So very good. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today, Brittany. It's been a joy to have you and continue that curiosity and that problem solving in this area. It's important for us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.